Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in and talk about the topic today, I'll get it out. I'm leaving that in. I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine on the market, bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We have a special, quote-unquote, special going on right now where we're giving quarterly memberships. We're super excited about that. People seem excited about it. And then that maybe come in and join for 3 months and take a couple months off. I personally would never leave teachhoops.com, but you have that option. And it's great. So go over and check it out, teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast. All right. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Just before we came on, Coach asked how long I'd been doing this. I should be outside raking, to be honest with you at this point, but the leaves are changing and everything's falling down. But I do this because I love to learn from other coaches, and Coach Miller is going to be one of those coaches. I can tell that in our short conversation beforehand. For the listeners, I don't tend to do a lot of small talk before I jump on with the coaches. And the reason I do that is I want to learn about them with you, kind of thing. So that's why I'm going to have Coach Miller kind of introduce himself and then kind of walk us through the basketball journey, because all my good golden nuggets have kind of come when I don't do the pre-interview kind of thing, and we just kind of jump in. So, Coach Miller, I'm going to turn it over to you and introduce yourself and kind of walk us through your basketball, either playing journey. I don't even know if you played, or your coaching journey.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, and thanks for doing this for our basketball coaching community. I've started listening probably within the last 6 months and learn something every day. So I really appreciate the guys that you have on.
Awesome. You never know, Coach. You never know. It's like, I leaned in a little bit during the pandemic, but you're never sure. I mean, I have my numbers and I'm an analytics guy because I'm a stats teacher, but sometimes I feel like I'm in my office just talking to the wind sometimes. So I'm glad there's people out there listening. I know there are, but I appreciate that a lot. So
yeah. So one of the things in the fall, and I'll get into my journey here real quick, but in the fall, we have 6 a.m. conditioning, and in Indiana, you can practice 2 days a week for 2 hours. And so we go 6 to 7:30 or 7:45 before school, and I pick some of the guys up, and I'll actually listen to your podcast on the way in so that they're gathering a little bit of it as well, which is awesome. So thank you for what you're doing.
You're welcome. I remember my high school coach used to play country music. I remember that. He'd have to pick me up or take me to camp. It's like, what are you listening to? Like, I listen to it now when I'm older, but yeah. So go ahead, Coach. Tell us about your journey here.
I was born in Nebraska, but then grew up in Northern Illinois, just probably 15 miles south of the Wisconsin border. So my hometown was Freeport. So I am a Freeport pretzel, one of the most unique nicknames in high school sports, probably. But my uncle, when I was in third, fourth grade, fifth grade, he was a head basketball coach for Dakota High School, which is also just to the west of Freeport.
Did the opposing teams have good chance about the pretzels?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can all talk about it. But it's pretty cool to actually be from Freeport now and have that. It's a great talking point.
It is.
So when I was, like I said, third, fourth, fifth grade, my uncle was a high school coach, and his team went to the Elite Eight in Illinois. So it went down to Champaign, and I, as a kid, got to be a part of all of that. I was in the locker room with these guys, and they had a guy named Alan Rayhorn, who ended up going to Northern Illinois and was a leading scorer in the MAC. And I can still name all the guys on the team and know all about them. And those guys were my heroes. And
so I know that's the cool thing about high school basketball. I'm telling you, I could almost name the starting five from when I was like in middle school for my high school team. And it's like, that's crazy. I couldn't tell you the starting five for the Badgers in that year, but I could tell you the starting five for the high school team. It's like when I was little, I don't know. I think that's a great thing about high school athletics.
When we tell our guys that today, you know, these young kids are looking up to you, and how you handle yourself both on and off the floor is really important, because you're going to influence these kids for the good or the bad. And we think our guys can change the world for the good. So some people say that your fourth grade year is your most influential from a developmental standpoint in psychology and stuff. And clearly it was for me, because it gave me the itch to get into basketball. So I ended up playing in high school. And then had the chance to go on and play at a school over in Ohio called Cedarville University. It's a Division II school. It was NAIA at the time. Went there and then came back to Indianapolis. So I studied public accounting, and was an accounting major. Came back here to work for a public accounting firm in Indy. And then one of the schools that was in the area hired another guy that was a Cedarville basketball player to be their head coach. And he reached out and said, "Hey, would you be interested in being my JV coach?" And I was like, "Absolutely." So I did that. And then after 3 years, he stepped away and they said, "Hey, would you be interested in being the head coach?" And I was like, "Absolutely." So I did that in addition. So I've got a business now that I run, a commercial construction firm. And so coached at that school, Bethesda Christian, for 5 years in total, then went to Garen Catholic for 10 years. And at Garen, I was actually the boys' freshman coach, and then became the girls' head coach, which was a unique experience for me, never working with girls before. But I really wanted to get back on the boys' side, and the Cecina job opened up on the east side of Indianapolis. And so I've been there for the last 4 years.
So side note, nothing to do with basketball. How's your supply chain on your construction company?
It's struggling. There's stuff that we cannot find, and you know, the end users don't care. They just want their stuff now.
I know. So my parents are building a lake house, and I just got a text from my brother. Like, we're going to get in a conversation at some point and with my mom and him and talk about it. But yeah, it's like, I empathize with you a lot, coach. Is what
labor and materials are two really challenging things right now, trying to find people and trying to find materials. So,
well, here's what, I mean, we talked about this in my stats class too. What's going to happen is you're going to have to pay your workers more, and then you're going to pass that on to me. That's what's going to happen, because the kids were talking about trying to find, I'm in Madison, so they were trying to find, you know, they were talking about jobs, and it's like, I said, you guys have the power right now at McDonald's and all these places. So we go, what do you mean? I go, they, like, the restaurants can't find enough workers. So I said, you shouldn't be working for less than $15 an hour. Like, and they go, what do you mean? I go, no, the restaurant's just going to charge me another 15 cents or another $2 for the burger. I'm still going to go probably buy the burger, but they're going to just pass it along to me is what's going to happen. And they go, well, most of them said they were making more than 15 an hour, which is like, it's high school kids.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So I think there's some ripple effects there. That so tell me that so you never worked you've never worked in a public you never coached in a public school.
That is correct. Yeah, that's correct. There are charter schools in Indianapolis, and I spent a part of a year in between my Bethesda Christian and Guerin Catholic. There was a charter school that I actually served on the board for as a business guy, and their coach left, and so they said, "Hey, would you step in?" So it's Tindley, charter school, and then there's another one called Indiana Math and Science Academy. So after I left Guerin, I spent a year or 2 years there at Indiana Math and Science, one as the head coach, one as just a volunteer assistant. And so, but no official public schools.
Okay. So what do you find difficult coaching in a private school? What's easy and what's hard and what's easy?
Yeah. So, and not that a public school has an unlimited budget, but trying to find resources at a private school is really challenging. And not pulling those resources from another capital campaign project or whatever it is that they're trying to raise money for. So, you know, just getting a shooting machine, when I say just, I know those are, you know, $5,000-$7,000, but you know, that can be a major thing for us.
Right.
So I think that's one thing. The other thing that I found here, you know, when I was a little kid in Northern Illinois, games were sold out. And I think until Indiana went to multi-class basketball, games were pretty sold out here in the late 90s. They changed and went to four classes. And so that's one of the things that we're really going to work hard. Our guys are going to go door to door selling tickets this year so that we can sell our gym out for each of our home games.
That's a great idea. Yeah. You know, it's crazy. Like we have five classes in Wisconsin. It's crazy. Like it's too many. We should have three. To be honest with you, that we have five and you have four, and like Illinois has like three or four, and I mean they're bigger states and they have anyway.
We're talking about going to a fifth class for the big schools. You know, there are some schools with 5,000 plus students here in Indiana, and they do that in football. They have a 6A football program, and there's maybe 25 or 30 schools in that, and everybody else in their class. So
yeah, it's a competitive equity is what they're referring to it in Wisconsin. It's like, to be honest with you, you're playing sports people. It's never going to be equitable ever. Right. Like we can sit and discuss it till the cows come home. But it doesn't, I mean, it's never going to be equitable. Even if you have one class, it's not equitable, you know,
So yeah, it's debate here because it really took away a bunch of local rivalries when they changed the state tournament to that four class system. We still play across classes, so we're a 2A, we'll play 3A, 4A schools throughout
Yeah, we do that too. So give me your basketball philosophy. Like if I came in your gym in when do you guys start practice?
November 8th is our first practice, November 8th.
Yeah, we're the 15th. We're a week later than you guys. So I come in, let's say I come in the end of November. What would I see? What would I see? That's an open-ended question.
Yeah, so we'll start our year. November, we're going to go 2.5 to 3 hours, and those are longer practices for us, but we've got so much to get in. We basically have 2 weeks to get it in. And our football team is really good, which provides a challenge for us at a small school. So of our starters, four of the five starters that'll be back are playing football. And numbers five and six six and seven coming off the bench are football players too. Okay. And they probably won't get into basketball mode until Christmas. It takes them that long to be able, you know, these are kids that are pretty athletic, but shooting a layup after you come out of football, I mean, they're
breaking. Well, how do you deal with that? Because we had that issue a couple of years ago. How do you deal with that?
Well, the way we schedule, so we've got all of our sectional opponents in the month of December. So those will be the teams that we end up playing in the state tournament right away. So we go sectional opponents, then we go non-conference, and then we finish up with our conference in February. And so what we try to do is maybe show those sectional opponents some different things early in the season and then we've got the whole season to get ready for them by the end of the season. So that's one of the things we do. We take our lumps early and then just hope for guys that, you know, heal up after their football season. But we really also this year, I mean, our goal is to be the number one team in the state in defense, and how we would measure that is points per game given up. So not given up, you know, not shooting percentage or anything like that, but it's the one stat that is tracked.
So dive into your defense. What's your defensive philosophy?
So we pack line it, and then we really try to value the basketball on the other end. So we want them, you know, taking one tough contested shot, rebound the ball, and really value the ball on the other end so that they're not getting breakaway layups on us. And so our games are going to be lower scoring, but we can stay in every game. And then hopefully, because we're used to playing close games, we can win a lot of the close ones.
Right. So how did you land on pack line?
Well, I went out and spent some time with Virginia's program a few years ago. When I came in, we were giving up like 70 points a game. And I thought, man, we can't outscore anybody at 70 points per game with this group that we had.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And so I was trying to find something. Somebody said, hey, you ought to look at Packline. And so I went out, spent some time with Tony Bennett and his staff, and had never done it before being here at Cecina. So over the last 3 years, we've kind of settled on that, and we dropped it from 70 points a game to 51. You know, we need to be down in the mid 30s though. So we're still giving up too many, but it takes time for kids to understand it, to buy into it. And it's not an easy thing to recruit to. So even in high school, you know, kids would rather fire the ball up a lot than play great deep. So you got to really show them that, hey, this is how
well, obviously Bennett and Bo Ryan and all of them, it's like pack line was basically invented, I think, in Wisconsin.
Yep.
So Tony's a great guy. I mean, that national championship couldn't have happened to a nicer person. What's the hardest thing to teach for you to your guys, the kind of players that you get?
Yeah. So I think it's just being disciplined and all five guys blocking out when the shot goes up. We may have a defensive possession because we're pretty good on the ball defense, but you know, when it gets to 35, 40 seconds, you guys are getting tired and the offense is getting tired too, but shot goes up and you have got to hit them hard.
How do you teach rebounding? I teach hit, find, get is what I teach.
Same thing. And we do a lot of defensive rebounding drills where it turns into football. We got to keep guys from getting in fights because it gets physical. But we've got a football school, so hey, might as well leverage it.
And how does that correlate? How does the football mentality correlate to the basketball program?
Before I took the job, people told me they will punch you in the face right before they're ready to shoot a shot. You know, they are going to be physical, and they are very physical kids.
Okay.
Like I said, the biggest thing we got to do is keep fights from breaking out because it's a fine line of being aggressive versus letting it seep out. And so I think my first year there, we probably had 11, 12, 13 technicals. And so the administration and myself too, I mean, I've never had a technical as a high school coach.
Right.
So we've said, hey, we got to rein this in, especially Catholic school. You know, we got to set an example for how we're doing things. So last year, I think we've got it down to 2, and we'd like to have 0. But it's a challenge with kids.
It is. It's that fine line between, yes, you want them to be aggressive, but and especially coming off of football, the whole sport is based on that in a lot of respects.
So, you know, the other coach too, I'll talk about this with football, you know, we want our guys talking, but their language use has to be appropriate. And, you know, in football, you're way away from the crowd. You got a helmet on. You can say a lot of things out there, but in basketball, the fans are right on you. And so it's a great character building thing for teaching our kids, you know, just proper use of language, when to use the language that you need to use. And so that's been a for us, you know, how do we keep things appropriate, especially when you got little kids watching you all the time?
Right. It's there's so many, I think that's what makes basketball even more unique than football. I think is there's more, I personally believe there's more teachable moments like that. And there are not necessarily, there's some bad quote unquote, not things that you necessarily want to teach in football, because it's almost barbaric in some respects.
Yeah.
Sorry, all the football coaches, but it is. I have a whole theory too. I'll give you a theory on football. I think football will not be football we know it now in a generation or two. Anyway, I think the game is going to have to change. So we aren't hurting people, to be honest with you. Yeah. Because if you've read the studies on it, the brain still moves in the skull, even though you're wearing a helmet. So it's still banging on the side of, there's no way for them to science to stop the brain from moving from side to side.
Yeah.
And luckily at the high school level, it's probably not too bad, but the collegiate level and NFL level, it's like being in a car accident.
Oh yeah. Every play.
Like your brain is hitting the side of your skull every time. Like,
yeah.
So it's just the science on it isn't great. But anyway, sorry to all the football coaches that are listening. But, you know.
Yeah, we've got a great football program. Like I said, so we're starting our state tournament next Friday night. So they finished their last one this past weekend. And so it's
– Yeah, we start Friday too. And then when do your guys – so you're – see, I think our state tournament is the weekend before basketball starts. So if your team makes it all the way there, then they play on Saturday and practice would start on Monday. That's why I think that's one of the reasons I think they pushed it back to November 15th. But where do you play your state tournament in Indianapolis, right?
Yeah, at Lucas Oil Stadium, where the Colts play, is where they'll play their state championship, and it's Thanksgiving weekend. So we could have games going before we get any of our football players. If they make it all the way.
How do you deal with that? Like, what do you do? Conditioning, shooting? What do you do with the guys you have?
Yeah. Yep. And that's what we're doing right now. Just a lot of conditioning, just fundamental, skill development stuff. You know, cause you've got to get better at this fundamentals, no matter how good you are, as a basketball team. So we really focus on that. We'll probably spend 30 to 40 minutes, no matter what, on skill development at every practice throughout the year, just to try to make sure that we're getting better and better at that.
Okay. What's the biggest change you've seen in your coaching career?
You know, some people say the kids have changed, and I think they probably have to some extent. Where they're coming from, you've got a little bit more to teach them just on the basics of life, I think. And it's sad, but, you know, some of our kids come from some really tough circumstances. And I don't think it was quite as pronounced 20 years ago as it is today.
I think they have more information, but they're less. It's like I tried to explain a card catalog to them. It's like, well, when I had to go find things out, I had to go look it up in a library or Encyclopedia Britannica. Hey, everybody. If you like the podcast, make sure you subscribe, like, leave a review, jump up and down, run around your house, whatever you need to do. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win?
Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.